So we'll begin this evening's meeting of the Finance and Facilities Committee, January 12, 2013, at 6:02 p.m. Would you please take a moment to review the minutes that are attached from the December 9, 2013 meeting?
I'm good with the minutes.
You're good? Patrick?
Yeah, good.
And Joe?
Yes.
Okay, so everyone has is in agreement on the notes to the last finance meeting. The next order of business on our agenda this evening is a 2014 Summer Capital Projects Recommendation. And to give you a little background, this is something I typically give in probably October to most finance committees. But given all the other work that's been going on, in particular the proposed addition for the elementary schools, we've had to push this because of all the other time necessary to get that other work done. So I was this year's projects, capital project recommendations, are really confined to roofs, and it has been a number of roofs since we've done. It's been a number of years since we've done any type of roof work. In particular, it was around 97 the last time we did anything significant. I wanted to show you the Lincoln plan. Now, Lincoln is not a standalone project. Lincoln is going to be bid as part of the proposed addition work for Lincoln. And if you'll notice, we have two areas highlighted here. This is the proposed addition area on the far left. And what we're doing is we need to capture some additional work. Now, to just give you a little background, the reason I need to capture that additional work is because 2 years ago I applied for and received a $50,000 maintenance grant from the state of Illinois, and we need to use those funds up this year, or we'll end up having to pay them back. So that's why we proposed this work. That's why it's being clearly delineated between the additional work and the capital project recommendation, because should the state ever come back and audit us, they're going to want to see that clear definition between those projects.
For some reason, Lincoln's permits get delayed or what have you, we'll be prepared to take this on ourselves and do the work this year so we don't miss the grant money.
I don't see that happening. I will tell you this, that we're not prepared to bid it alone. This is part of the construction bids that are due to be released this Thursday.
Okay.
We've published public notice. I don't see anything holding us up at this time. So that was the agreement, that we were going to bid this as part of our capital as part of our addition work for this coming school year.
My point is just, if something happens with the permit on the addition work,
then we'll be ready.
That bid process needs to just make sure that it can be pulled out and still
a good point.
Transacted so you can use the grant.
And you know what? You're absolutely right there. So we'll have to monitor that. But just to give you an update, we met with the village last Thursday, had a great meeting with them. We are on track. We've submitted our application for permitting last Friday. The only thing we're really waiting on right now is we've requested titles for all of our property, because that's part of the application process. That's about a week out. So as soon as we get that taken care of, then we will forward those on to the village. But we don't expect any significant holdup. Is that a fair assumption? Fair comment?
The permit process for municipal for schools is really pretty straightforward. So you know that you have to do a good job going through the municipal part of the municipal permit application, which is the appearance committee, and then stormwater, and they're moving right along. So we're not anticipating anything. You know, they've had preliminary conversations with them, in particular about Lincoln and Franklin, and the stormwater issues on those two projects have already been resolved.
Really? Great.
It's already incorporated into the system. The real stormwater kind of questions that are out there have to do with Churchill.
Okay, but Lincoln does have a new underground.
And that's that's part of it. That's already calculated and figured.
Okay.
And we've been in meetings with their stormwater engineer and their people in the village, both Stacy and Michelle. Again, we met with them last week, and we met with Stacy and Michelle, the director of public works, the police department was there, the village engineer was there. So we seem to all be on the same page.
And there is a submittal requirement, though, to the stormwater at DuPage County, correct? or is there not?
The stormwater work is all being done through the building Glen Elm. The process in Glen Elm is that, from my understanding, is that Glen Elm is the reviewing body on behalf of DuPage County, so everything's going to DuPage, to Glen Elm.
That's a fair statement, because when we did Hadley a couple of years ago, everything, even though Hadley is in Wheaton, everything was submitted through the village of Glen Elm and reviewed there.
Okay. They're a full waiver community, and they can...
They act on behalf of the county.
Okay. They submit directly to the county. Okay. All right.
So we seem to be in good shape right now with the going out to bid for the proposed addition. So again, this is a little bit of Lincoln. I just wanted to let you know that this is on our radar. The next presentation here on the slide is for Hadley. And I wanted to give you an idea. Typically, when we go out to bid, we'll take a base bid and then an alternate, just in case pricing comes in to the point where we, you know, we give you a dollar figure. In this case, it's $630,000. If that were to come in at $500,000 and our budget was $630,000, we would take a look at accepting this alternate one bid. But right now, our recommendation is to focus on these areas of the building that are in most need of replacement. Like I said, the last time this work was done, and it was in about 1997, so that work is now 15 or 16 years old. These roofs are aging, and we've begun to experience problems in certain areas throughout the building.
That's grant money as well, Bob?
No, this is straight district money. Typically what I do is I budget approximately $1.5 million annually for capital projects. Mm-hmm. This year, as indicated in the report, with all the other work going on, I'm proposing pulling that money back rather significantly, and we will look to do between $700,000
and $800,000. And in the survey that the architect did for us on the roof surveys, this is the area of most concern.
I have the architects perform a roofing assessment, mm-hmm. every year on all of our buildings, and this is the area that's of most concern right now.
And you presented that to us back.
Yeah, we've talked about this previously.
Was this a 1 to 3 year life? Is that what that
this
was?
Is what this has out there. And I know you and I met a few weeks ago, and I know you wanted me to mention that what I'm most concerned about is that we don't get out a couple of years, is that we don't do any roofs, and then all of a sudden we've got to do $5 or $6 or $7 million worth of roofs in one particular year. So that's why I try to strategize and come up with a plan so that we won't be put into a position like that.
So what area, I'm trying to visualize where that is. Is that the gym area?
Well, here.
Is that the library?
There's the pods. Here's the front door area.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
So
here's
the
new addition that we put on a couple of years ago. So here's the front door area. Here are the pods. So it's everything. Here's the central sort of administrative area. So it looks, this would be the smaller gym, the larger gym. These are the locker room areas. And
is it part of that the library?
Yeah. Could be part of the library, and behind the library, these are the classrooms that we put in last year with the Hadley LMC renovation. So that's how that all lays out. I'll tell you, just to give you an idea, we do have issues with the roof on the east end of Hadley, but you know that's a concern, just like we have some problems with the rotunda area of the Lincoln, in the center area of Lincoln. There are roofing issues there, but we want to see what's going to happen in the next couple of years. I'd hate to bring a recommendation to the board to do $400,000 or $500,000, $600,000 worth of work, and then in a couple of years it goes away. So long-term planning is we'll take what we know is going to stay, and then we do this work sort of last grasp. If we have to do it, we have to do it. But that would not be my recommendation. To do areas that could be projected as having significant renovations to them in the future, especially in, relative in the future. And I can't speak to decisions the board's going to make, but those are our recommendations at this point in time.
So this will be the first time that we've done major roofing work in Hadley and 15 there?
District-wide.
Okay.
District-wide. I did roofing work as a result of the addition at Hadley a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I think that's the only real roof, but that was because of the addition.
Other than regular maintenance.
Oh, yeah, we always spend
we,
you know, that's one of the reasons we've gotten as much life out of our roofs as we do is because we're not afraid to spend money to keep them going. So, you know, I tell the director of buildings and grounds, your rough budget for patching and maintenance and ongoing issues is about $35,000. That's pretty much what we spend annually just to keep our roofs in good working order.
And I would defer to our construction expert in the audience, but this type of weather has got to be as bad for roofs as anything about
as it gets.
Expansion of joints and things like that.
I would say this, well, roofs and parking lots.
The bottles we all see and we drive around. Yeah. We don't go on the roofs, so we really don't see the same thing experiencing in the parking lot you're experiencing on your roof.
Well, look, it was 41 degrees today, and last week it was 15 below. So, and all the pooling of water up there, the melting and refreezing, so it's all a pretty significant. It is significant to the wear and tear in our roofs. So our plans are, I'd like to bring this to the finance, actually to the board for discussion, and then we'd like to go out to bid with this as soon as the board were to approve us moving forward at the last meeting in February. And I will tell you, just to keep this process moving forward, I do have the architects doing parallel work now. So it's important, otherwise we wouldn't be able to get out to bid this year.
And just one last question. The per square foot price is $20 plus per square foot for total replacement.
Plus, correct.
And that is, we feel that that's a good number.
That's what the architects feel is a good number.
Okay.
They're the ones who monitor, you know, what we've paid for prices previously and what's going on out in the marketplace.
Okay.
And this is summer 14 work?
This would be this summer work, and it would be a district-managed project.
Okay.
Lincoln will be on the part of the construction manager. This is district-led.
Okay.
Any other questions on this recommendation? So we're going to bring it to the to the board for discussion at our next meeting, and I'm looking for approval in February.
Thanks, Ron. This is a long time coming, so...
Well, I've been talking about roofs really since I got here 7 years ago, so it's always been kind of, it's a conversation that we have every year, and this year it's starting to bubble up. Okay, any other questions then? We'll move on to the proposed 2014 elementary school additions. And really what this is a revised agreement per MB Financial. And also, attached to this agreement is a revised 10-year financial plan that I've put together. And MB is supposed to be here at 6:30 to just talk about their revised program, And what the administration is recommending is somewhere between $5 and $7 million in borrowing. And my board report and notes have discussed $6 million. I would be very comfortable with borrowing $7 million and repaying it with an amortization over 15 years. It provides for long-term sustainability yet flexibility to the district and future boards and administrators in terms of how we would finance these projects. One document that you did not have included with your board packet was a 10-year financial plan updated with these revisions, and you have it now in front of you.
As a committee, can we take a moment, since they're not here, to discuss our committee goals of when we want to present to the board a final recommendation?
I think this is the appropriate time now for you to have
your
conversation.
And just your recommendations of not to exceed $7 million. Okay.
Not to exceed $7 million, and I do want to amortize it over 15 years.
So for the bids are going out on Thursday.
Correct.
You'll get them back in
3 weeks later.
Okay, so early February. The goal is to have an approval in March. I read that somewhere in one of the e-blasts. I'm paying attention. So we want to have the financing approved in March by the board, or are we going to pre-approve how we're going out? Or does that have, that happens all at the same board meeting, the financing and the final rough design?
Well, MB has asked me when I can lock in these prices, because when I can lock in a recommendation, because then they'll lock in their financing. So if we allow it to just keep stringing along, then those...
Well, then you want to do it before March.
I would like to do it before
March. So can we,
yes.
I mean, I know we're
talking...
Yeah, I'd
like to do what by March?
Make a presentation to the board before March.
Oh.
So that we then know what we're going to do or not do.
We're just trying to lock in our finances.
At least I'll make a commitment to MB.
Yeah, at least have a commitment to MB, so then we can have the option to lock rates if we... if the board approves it.
Is it a borrowing commitment?
A borrowing.
Right.
Yeah.
I recall the current commitment is the rate's a little bit higher from the original proposal.
Is
yeah.
this the current one, 4.16%?
Yeah.
Was that their 10-year deal was at 3.69. I forget what their 15-year
3.08.
Was the 10-year was at 3.08?
And 15 at 4.02.
4.02. And this was previous to the 10-year loss, 20 bips in the last 2 days. So the question on there that I would have, and this is what I'm going to get here, is what's the spread? Because last time we were at the muni index plus 75 basis points, did they sharpen their pencil this time
around? The spread on?
The muni index?
Right. Oh, in terms of, you're talking about pricing.
Pricing, yes. Okay. The rate to me is material, don't get me wrong, especially when you're running projections, but we're not locking today. I mean, the muni index is down today.
Right.
So we're down 20 bips from when they did the, when they gave us the letter. So I would think we'd be at, you know, if I do my math, you know, we'd be somewhere around 3.86 or 3.96 or whatever.
Right, under four.
Under four right now as we sit here in the business. So who knows when it opens up tomorrow. But what's important to me is their spread. We're kind of getting off topic because I'm trying to ask for timing of this committee to go to the board. What I would propose is that we move swiftly, but we have to make sure we vet it, which we are, and we're doing more today, so that at least we have the option and give the option to the administration to do what is appropriate with the interest rate environment that we're in. So that's to me, step number one is the plan on timing. Step number two is then to figure out, you know, exactly what we want, and then at 6:30 we get to somewhat negotiate with MB.
No, I gotta agree with you. Yeah, Joe. The sooner we kind of lock in our financing costs, you know, the better. I think the better off we are.
Here's another side of an argument, because I think I'm the other side of the conversation, because I'm kind of on the other side, maybe 180 degrees, saying let's build with our cash and then borrow what we need. In some numbers that I was running around were like 6.5, 6.25 of our own funding gets us through, if I get this timeline right, gets us through March of next year. And depending how those budgets and under budget, over budget, or whatever, next year we borrow what we need to.
Did you do the interest rate? I mean, there's a spread to what we're getting, which is
happening. I kind of left rates off the table.
And what would my fear is, what I would do that analysis and then do my break-even rate of next year, and then say, well, what's the risk of rates going up 70 basis points?
Well, I guess I'm concerned that as much as we trust FDM and the people that do the job, and they've been coming in under budget, if they come in under budget, and why do we need to borrow $7 million if all we need to do is borrow $5 million?
To me, I want to borrow the maximum that we can sustain budget-wise, so that we have for the next round, phase two, I would look at that $2 million savings and say, that's great, because now our credit rating is better for when we go out for a referendum. And we have more in our tank to go and put skin in the game when we're making that presentation to the community for phase two. To me, the analysis comes down to a risk. It's just an interest rate risk analysis. If by doing the funding with our own funds, which we're earning 10 basis points or something ridiculous, and you know what it is exactly you've been studying. And that's a big spread. I mean, if we get locked us in at 4, that's a 390 spread for 1 year. But over 15 years, present valuing the difference of rates, how many bips do you need? You know, I can't do that math in my head, but I just did the math at work, and I know that it's not a lot of bips, but you could lose 40 bips, and you'll pay for it over 15 years.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, one of the things that I want to do, though, is I want to spend as much cash as we can of reserves to be fiscally safe. And I've been running some numbers. I've been looking at some credit score, or I won't call them credit scores, but some ISBE credit total scores. And it looks like things are on a weighted basis, and you guys probably know this better, you know, backwards and forward, fund balances to ratios, revenues, expenditures to revenues. And last year we ran 4s across the board. Awesome. You know, perfect. You know, AA ratings. But you know what? We were also getting those AA ratings in 2007 when we were getting 3.55 scores from ISB. So my thought is, if we can spend a prudent amount of money, let's just say $9 million, $10 million, and still keep the AA rating, and then...
Your interest rate risk is so huge, and you're not going to give you enough left to put skin in the game. I mean, if you spend all the cash, where would you, I mean, if this was the only project...
Oh, I'm not saying I concur.
If it's the only project. The issue is that we have a phase two project, which, as you and I learned at the ISB III conference, everybody pretty much said if we didn't have skin, they tried to do it, if 213 didn't have skin in the game, or 113, whatever it was, and they shut it down. We need to come, in my opinion, with skin in the game for a referendum to pass. If we don't, if we're not going to give the future boards, if it's a future board or our board later on, well, I guess it's a future board because 2 years there'll be new members here, but or less than that now, we're going to take a tool out of their toolbox to get a referendum done. And I don't wish to do that. And I think at the end, when interest rates are historically low like they are, you have to borrow first, because the cost to this projection will bring you down to $4 million. We could do sensitivity analysis. We could ask MB, give us a rate with 100 basis points more, you know, in a 15-year. What would we be able to borrow at the safe payment pattern? Same payment.
But with less, spread.
You're going to be forced to do it.
But I'm saying we could do it at less principal. Though.
Right. No, my point is at 100 basis more, you're going to be forced. It doesn't matter what your budget is anymore. God forbid you're over budget. It doesn't matter, because you're going to be forced. You cannot do it. What you have now is a window of opportunity. And to me, I see this window of opportunity of low interest rates as something that becomes an asset on your books when interest rates go up.
Yeah.
And to pass that up, it's already been passed up, because it's already 100 basis points more than it was, you know, 18 months ago. You know, it's already been passed up at that level. God forbid it's 150 basis points up, you know, 14, 18 months from now when we're going out. Your number running these projections at this payment, you may be constricted to $4.2 million.
Right.
So now you got to come up with another million.
Can I ask you guys a money question? Should the district determine to borrow the $7 million, let's say? Is there a penalty if you pay the bond off earlier, if you pay it off earlier?
Yeah, there's a yield maintenance penalty.
Yeah.
Did MB have a penalty involved with a...
We could add their hair, so when we're ready, we can bring them in.
There is a yield maintenance fee. It's essentially a prepayment.
We're, us non-bankers.
It's a little bit nebulous in terms of
because I wonder, because part of their presentation was some of the value of our relationship with them, and
we can ask them, it's in this application letter, this application letter that they submitted does have a yield maintenance. They don't give you the formula.
It says prepayment yield maintenance, but what does that mean?
Yield maintenance is a cash flow.
I know what it means. Yes. I guess what I'm asking is, what is the dot? What
it's a moving target.
Yeah.
Interest rates go way up, or if an inverse yield curve occurs, then your yield maintenance will be zero. But if they stay the same and you have a what we call a normal yield curve, then as your maturity moves on your bond, that it's a huge cost.
Yeah.
It's not a small
cost. So I'm wondering how to find if there's some value, and you're here now, so you can ask
me.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. But I guess I'm
going right into it.
So what I'm talking about principally is I appreciate that we have to have skin in the game, and I want to have skin in the game. What I'm saying is, do we have more than $15 million? Do we have more than $15 million that we think we can spend? Because that's what I'm saying is because our ratios from the ISBA, we were still at AAA ratings when we were at 3.5. Rating point. So I'm saying maybe there's an additional $5 million worth of revenue that's on the table.
Here's what's clear to me, and this cannot change because it's just absolute. If interest rates go up, ultimately, you're limiting what amount of skin in the game you can put in. Now, maybe interest rates will go down.
I don't think so, because I think if interest rates go up, your principal, your P&I payments will definitely be impacted if the principal being borrowed is the same. That doesn't impact the level of skin in the game, because what I'm saying is that's cash on hand in your budget.
No, but that's an absolute number. You know what that number is. The minute you borrow less, you have less money in the pool. So therefore,
what's in our reserve that we could possibly take, pushing it out, even pushing the envelope.
Right, and what I'm saying is, we have more in the reserves than we think, because if we reduce our fund balances to revenue ratio to 3.55, which we were in 2007. If we reduce our fund balances by an extra $5 million, we would still be in around a 3.5 fund balance ratio to still maintain our AAA rating. Right. So I'm saying we would have that extra $5 million that we could borrow, because our ratio went from 4 to 3.5. Okay, good and bad, we went down. Good, but we would still maintain the credit worthiness of the school board.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. My point is simple. If interest rates go up, the pot of money goes down, because you can only sustain a certain payment stream given our budget. So the amount of skin in the game, you may have enough skin in the game, but it will be reduced if interest rates go up and you wait to borrow the money. It has to be reduced. If you had $100 million in fund balance, that's what you had, and the project was $35 million, you could fund it all, right? But if you could only, later on, only borrow $5 million instead of $7 million, then you'd have to use two more of that $100 million. So it doesn't matter, because your fund balance exceeds your project budget. But now let's go the other way. We have in the fund balance $25 million, okay? We want to keep it always above $15 million. So we have $10 million we can play with to put skin in the game, right, at the end of the day. Well, if you are borrowing less in a year, then you're going to have to grab a little more of that. You don't have it in your big pot, so you may only be able to put $8 million in the game. And that's my only point, is that you are lowering, if interest rates go up, which we all believe they will.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Most people say they are. So that means that you will have $2 million less to put skin in the game. Eight may do it. Eight may convince the community. But 10 would probably convince them a little easier.
Right. But maybe then it is a maybe it's a different way of getting to the community to pass the referendum. One way is put $10 million in. Our skin in the game is $10 million. My side of the story is we spent down as much as we can, as much as we could to maintain our balances. We have, instead of 10, we have 8. Mm-hmm. And so I cannot take any more money out of our budget. I cannot do it. We've spent the 15 plus the additional 3 that we found, and we can't do it. So yours is, let's try to pass it, and here's $10 million in our budget.
Right.
And mine is, let's do it because I spent as much as I possibly and fiscally responsibly could. And so it could have been
They're both fiscally responsible.
Yeah.
Right? One just gives you more option to have more money. That's the difference. And that's why I sit here today and say, I agree with everything you're saying. If I can put myself in the future, I'd rather be the guy with 10 than 8. That's it. That's what I come down to.
The other piece of this is that this part of the conversation around referendum is a piece of it. Mm-hmm. And there's multiple other pieces that go into certainly the community supporting the needs.
Right. No, but that, you're holding all that else equal. I mean, you got to hold it constant in your analogy, and that's all we're doing. So you can make an economic decision here. Is it better to fund now because of the interest rate environment?
Well,
me, it was better to fund 18 months ago, you know?
Right.
And by the way, hence
your comment about moving swiftly, because we keep pushing this out. We keep shooting ourselves in the foot. And
I agree. And as a community member, I saw that. And I said, that's not the right approach to take. And that's why I ran to come here, because I'm like, it's finance 101. You know, I mean, it's what we learned in finance 101. And there is a lot of money that was left on the table when interest rates were 75 bits lower or whatever.
We're going to make more money.
So I had a quick question is around this, the yield maintenance prepayment premium. Should the district borrow? It's a penalty, essentially.
We can't call it a penalty.
But I know you can't call it a penalty.
I can.
But should the district borrow up to the $7 million, and then it has, you know, we lower interest rates, whatever, to our advantage. How do you identify what that cost is, and is there something we could do to minimize or rid ourselves of that penalty?
Well, so your first question, we can give you a sense of what it is by running a couple of hypothetical scenarios based on where rates are. Mm-hmm. So we could assume that a prepayment occurs, you know, year 2, year 4, you know, and based on, you know, rates go, you know, we could assume they go up, we could assume they go down, whatever you want. So that's the first question. And your second question was,
is there a way to negotiate that out of the deal?
There's not a way to negotiate it out. There's a way maybe we can look at what spread we use in that calculation.
And we talked about that last time.
We did talk about it last time, right?
And the one that you presented doesn't really have the detail behind it.
Correct.
So I'm assuming it's the same as the last one you presented.
The proposal is updated with the rates, but there's no more language on it.
And just to remind us, it's you're using what index as your repayment index?
Well, we can do it a couple ways. We determine the rates by applying a liquidity premium to market rates for double A rated, you know, municipal credit. And we talked about this a little last time, but when we do our yield maintenance calculation, maybe we can convert that back to the treasury curve, and just apply whatever that spread may be. And I don't have the numbers with me, but that way you'll know exactly how that calculation is determined.
Or we could just do a spread. What's our spread on our rate? Last time it was the muni plus 75 basis.
That's what it is. So
and that's what this current one is. But there's no spread on the yield maintenance. It's a straight muni index or some
now,
correlated index.
If we use the treasury curve in our yield maintenance calculation, there will have to be some spread.
But that's just equating it to the muni index.
Exactly.
So my question last time is, can you take the muni index? We're at a 75 basis point spread. So basically, you're looking and you're doing your cash flows and you're lining them up in a prepayment penalty equation in your spreadsheet, and boom, boom, boom. And the difference is if I'm not inverted and I'm paying off in 3 years, I'm benchmarking the 7-year muni index, not the 3 years would be 12, not the 15-year muni index that I'm coming at. There's our, as long as it's not inverted, it's already a lower spread holding all else equal.
Right.
What I'm asking for and what I asked for before is a spread to that muni index on my yield maintenance. So give me 25 bips of spread, and then what I'm saving in my, and this goes to Erica's question, you are, because we're a customer of you, yours with high deposits, you're willing to do that because we're just borrowing our own money, and we understand that, compensating balances. You're willing to give us, if we want to pay it off, that extra 25 basis points in the yield maintenance. To me, for them, they may not be able to do it, but to me it's an easy gig because most people aren't going to prepay it, especially a municipality or...
But it's a way to look at to provide some rationale in addition, in terms of where the finance committee ends up on this. You know, what are some ways that we're looking at this that...
But here's the...
And I think, if rates go where we think they're going to go, I think it's going to be minimized anyway.
It's zero anyways, and you're not going to want to pay it off quickly.
Yeah, so I'm not opposed to looking at, reducing a spread in the yield maintenance. But, that comes down to a credit decision that we'll have to make.
Right.
But why don't we start with some scenarios and map out where we think those premiums are going to be, based on a couple different assumptions, and then we can...
The thing comes, when interest rates go really high, this debt becomes an asset for you because the interest rate's so low. And that's when you're not going to pay it off, and that's when it's zero.
Mm-hmm.
It's when things stay stabilized, if they were, and you have the spread, that getting the benefit. That's why it's an easy gig for you because rates are historically low, and it's not gonna hit.
Yeah.
So
we're never gonna do it. And to be perfect, we're not necessarily thrilled about making money on prepayments. So it's not. It's an easier give than
you, I'm even late.
So we'll take
it. It's right here.
It's a recorded line.
I'd rather look at reducing a spread on a prepayment premium than,
the spread on the...
Yes.
Yeah. But I'd rather negotiate the spread of the 75 basis points anyway. I mean, if we were sitting here at rates where at 10%, we're borrowing at 10%, 19 whatever, 7.6 or 19.4 whatever, when it was 10%, this would be a big deal.
Right.
So, because I can tell you, if we put this into place, boards 5 years from now are going to say, how the heck did they get a 3.89% interest rate? Mm-hmm. Well, they're going to say that. They're going to forget. Well, they're going to remember because that's when everybody refinanced their house. They're still going
to... They're going to think, the last thing we would ever do is pay that off.
Yeah, the last thing you ever do, and boy, they're going to say this, Patrick, unfortunately. I hope they maximized their cash flow when they got that, because it was an asset when they got it. So we have lots of other questions for you, too, besides the Monday.
Great.
we just wanted to start with the easy one.
Sure.
So, well, you answered the spread question. You're still at 75 basis points to the spread. Now, in the last 2 days, the muni index fell quite a bit.
That would be reflected in an updated rate.
Do you know what it fell in the last 2 years?
I don't.
Okay. But it's based on 15, and the 15-year treasury fell quite a bit. Is it correlated? It's pretty correlated.
It's positively correlated, but not incrementally.
Because that's all based off some muni basket, right? That's calculated.
They all, so everyone borrows off the same curve. Our government borrows off the same curve.
But not
our state borrows off the same curve.
But the muni rate that you're charging is a muni rate basket, some muni rate market basket.
It's a double A tax exempt.
Right.
It's not qualified curve.
It's positively correlated to the treasuries, but it's not.
It's a treasury.
One for one.
Correct.
Right. So how would we see that if we wanted to?
I tried researching that. It's like
we pull it
from Bloomberg, and maybe we could, if you want random updates, we can certainly send you that.
So
it's just an easy screenshot for us.
Okay, so that would be helpful for us.
Okay.
I think, and of all the items we want to talk to you about is the spread, but on the 15-year, which is plus 75. But we can leave that for the end, if you like, and tackle some others.
Sure.
We tackled the prepayment premium. On the semi-annual principal payments, is there an option to go quarterly?
Sure.
Okay. Just the thought there is, you know, we have this money, and it would be down to Bob's projections. The base, we get semi-annual payments right now on our tax bills, which are heavily weighted, all in one six-month period, of course. But if you could do that in your budget, you're going to save interest costs over time because you're paying principal down a little quicker.
Is that something you think?
That wouldn't be a problem.
Okay. So we could go to the court.
So it's in essence, it's a way to say, if we can, if we're sitting here with cash, and I look at what our cash is.
We can go monthly.
I know. Monthly would reduce it even more. So it's
can we do monthly and quarterly?
Okay.
Yeah.
Bi-week.
Bob's got to do some reality.
We don't need a week.
Bob's got to do a daily payment.
We'll send a runner.
We have one person focused only on this for 10 years.
Can you get on number three in your covenants to the bank, you have fees and costs. And maybe we talked about this last time, and I didn't take as quick a chance as I did, but do you have an estimate of fees and costs?
Yes, we did, yeah.
$10,000. Yeah. So we can have our commitment with a cap on it, and that's the same number? As long as our attorneys aren't ferociously negotiating with documents.
Hold on, I have it right here.
That was that in tonight's presentation?
No.
That's in September.
It covenants to the bank on page 505 talks about fees and costs.
We assumed $15,000 for issuer counsel, $15,000 for bank counsel, and $25,000 for bond counsel.
So you included our sides.
I'm sorry. Bond counsel, we have 15. Issuer counsel, 15. Bank counsel, 15.
Okay, 15 across the board.
Right.
And you got estimates there.
Correct.
And then we have our side. Our counsel.
Right, that's in there, issuer counsel.
Oh,
we assumed it at 15. And the biggest bill will probably be Chapman.
Yes.
The biggest bill will probably be Chapman.
Mark Chapman.
Really?
Which, you know, rightfully so, because they do all the drafting and documents.
Oh,
we have a relationship with a firm that specializes in this type of law.
And they're going to draft.
Chapman and Cutler.
So you draft the documents and give them to you.
Correct.
For counsel to review.
Right.
So your counsel's review. The draft documents are usually higher. So.
Absolutely. So our counsel is going to be cheaper, not by. You know, it's by design because they do less drafting.
Did you say 15 across the board?
Right.
So I would expect yours to be.
It would be south. It, you know, wherever they're at, will be south of them.
Right. Okay. Have questions or not? Asking questions.
Just keep throwing them.
Go ahead.
I don't have a lot more. But you say you can give your approval in 2 weeks and turn it around. Okay. And our goal is it to have, I'm going back, this is a question for us that I asked them, is are we going to get approval before we go to the board? Is that the, well, we wait for their approval after we have board approval.
Well, I can't imagine them not giving us approval.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'd like them to hear that.
I just want to keep the process moving forward.
Would we get a pre-approval when we walk to the board in March or February or whatever, or...
We can go and get approval, and then it's just the rate that we'd have to update right before closing.
Then I would ask to do that so that we're bringing to the board an approval, not
subject to an interest rate.
Subject to an interest rate, right.
Okay.
At whatever dollar amount we finally figure out.
Okay.
I'm still listening. I want to make sure we're talking timing, too, because, of course, in your scenario, timing has less meaning than the scenario that I'm talking about, just because we want to lock the rate sooner.
And how long would it take to lock it? How long would it take to lock it?
So the rate lock, we could set the rate 2 business days prior to closing.
That's what you have in the document.
Right. So with the Dodd-Frank, banks are regulated against entering into hedging agreements with government entities, which is what school districts are. And anything longer than a 2-day lock would be a hedging instrument, and we're unfortunately prevented from doing that.
It's another wonderful thing about Dodd-Frank. It's protecting even more people.
The government is here. They're here to help.
Beware.
Well, one of the issues we do have when we're talking about locking rate and funding is using that money. So one of the things we talked about at one point, and this goes against my whole, or rather, block early, is, can we do multiple fundings? If we come up with $7 million as our number, can we do 3.5, April 15th, and then do 3.5, July 15th or September 15th? Can we do that with your approval? Just have 2 funding dates.
We would have to rely on an opinion from bond counsel, because that would be a drawdown bond.
Or 2 separate bonds.
You could do 2 separate issuances, but it would be separate.
That would be multiple different rates.
Right.
There'd be multiple costs.
Yeah, we're going to have 2 different
rates.
Same drafting.
And Patrick, I want to just comment also. We don't know exactly what's going to go forward this year. We know Lincoln is going to move forward. We know that Franklin is going to move forward, proposed moving forward. Then we're also talking about doing the storm, if we can, doing the stormwater at Forest Glen this summer. And we're looking at doing some work at Churchill this summer, all in anticipation of being able to start in the spring of 2015. And if we can get that site work done this summer for Forest Glen and Churchill, which are pretty significant, that would allow us to start our exterior work in March of 15 and open those buildings by the beginning of school of 15 instead of extending it another year into the school year. So that's why we don't know where this is all going to shake out yet.
Yeah, I totally appreciate and understand that we're going to have our hands in 2 buckets here, possibly, is the lending bucket and the cash bucket. There's just two sides. There's just 2 ways to do that, and
I agree.
I don't want to say Joe's and mine, but just 2 ways to do it.
It's 2 sides of the coin.
Yeah,
and
there's
two
down the side.
I'll
never try to predict the public's reaction, but my thoughts is, if we can go to them and said we are bare bone and we're down to the wire, and now we're at, I'm going to use your 8 and 10. We're at 8, and that's it. We're done. And 8, and whatever that 8 and 10 is to do to buy a quick ship across the store and build a school there or whatever it is, I don't know if $2 million or $4 million, whatever the number is, that delta between us spending as much as we can and not having less in our hands is going to change a buyer's. A seller's propensity to sell to a school district because they know that they're going to have to fulfill a bond issue that's coming through.
I just hold everything else equal and know that 10, in my example, 10 is better than 8, and that's it. And we're at historically low interest rates. I mean, I said this at our last meeting, and I have to do this at work, so these numbers come in. I just locked a 9-year deal swap on it. And the thing is if you look at the treasuries from like 1992 to 2005, and you cut out this crazy run up of everything from 6-7 and then what happened in 8, if you just take that out of the equation, I mean, just the 5-year by itself, the 5-year treasury is above 5%.
I'm not arguing.
I know, but that you can lock loans right now a 5-year in the commercial market at 380, at 410. I mean, it's just, but the Treasury by itself in that 15-year period was above 5%. I don't trade Treasuries and was never capable of doing it, so I don't want to predict interest rates, but I can historically look at things and say, you know, there's a reason we're where we are. I mean, we all know it's government monetary policy. And the fact is, tapering is happening. It's going to start happening. And since they announced it in June, you watched 100 basis points go up. Now you see a retraction of 20 because of the December employment numbers, but that doesn't mean they're going to stop tapering. It means they're going to slow it down, perhaps. It probably doesn't even mean that. It's hard to say. But tapering has to happen at some point.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable.
Yeah. I'm not arguing the interest rate. I'm not arguing the interest rate discussion point.
Patrick, what I hear you talking about is what's that, the kind of perceptual piece of how the community would react to option A, option B.
Exactly.
You said this too, Joan, that none of us disagree. Both are fiscally responsible. It's just a different view of having a gain in terms of the interest rate right now and then being able to have some flexibility as we move into phase two. But, you know, Bob, there was a question posed earlier from Patrick, and I know we didn't get to it, but what is that wiggle room in terms of the reserve? I know the board policy has that percentage that we don't go below. We've talked about that. But for particular instances, and the board would agree, you know, needs to agree. But where are we with reserves in terms of that number? We've been talking about $5 million.
As of June 30th of this past year, 13, our reserves were approximately $17.5 million.
Right.
And our average expenditures, operating expenditures, are around $45 million. So it's something around 30%.
Right.
And our board policy indicates or has stated that we wouldn't dip below 25% of operating expenditures unless it's approved by the board. Now, the one thing I did want to comment is, and I understand the give and take in terms of fund balances and how much we fund internally and how much we borrow. But the fact of the matter is that once we spend this money, and I understand about the skin in the game and everything else, but once that money's gone, it's gone for good. And I can't to try to use that in terms of, I guess, intended leverage when you're going on for a referendum. If a referendum fails, I can't go back. There's no wiggle room for me. Once it fails, or if it fails, it fails. Once that money is spent, it's spent. My recommendation is to guard on the side of caution. And if we do consider ourselves having the ability to pay a little bit more or do some additional work, it gives us that leverage in the future. And that's what I'm primarily concerned about. And additionally, you know, for the next couple of years, we said that in addition to any other capital projects that we do, that we're going to take $1 million annually and fund our soft cost in the operating budget. That's pretty significant to make $1 million a year commitment, plus ongoing capital projects, plus beginning to pay off payments on these proposed additions. So there's a lot of unknowns out there, and I would prefer to guard on the state of caution and allow some flexibility to the administration and to future boards.
That's why the board put that policy in place, as we had that conversation around. I mean, I guess this may not be the right analogy, but the way that I think about this is that adage is, you know, and my family was in this situation, but when you lose your job, do you have X number of months in the bank in order to sustain while you look for that job, right? And probably
we have 303 days worth of additional cash. We have a whole levy here to get what we need.
Yeah, and I'm not dismissing that. At the same time, this was a little bit of a deja vu conversation, because when the board had the discussion with you, Bob, about abating the $2.7 million, et cetera, almost verbatim, Patrick, was the conversation around what might this gain in terms of the community recognizing our, you know, commitment to being, you know, to putting that out there, to abating those dollars, et cetera. I know you've heard this, and it was a big fat goose egg. Not a single comment, nothing. And that, I think that's par for the course, unless something's really touching you in some way, you don't, you know, communicate it, good, bad, or indifferent. But, it's always a part of the conversation is how can we, I brought this up before, District 200's failed referendum for Jefferson, which I took a tour through that school, you know, to see how their special education is run in that environment in a really old school, never purposed for that, and that that didn't fly. One leg of the school was the fact that they had in reserve X number of million dollars in wanting to prepare for the potential pension reform, some other big operating costs that they had sitting out there. You know, so the board was trying to be diligent about not wanting to over spend. To your point, those dollars are gone, and now we still have this here. So there's a lot of pieces to it, but they felt that as well. You should have spent more of that money. So there's argument to both sides.
It's reality.
Well, reality from, again, recognizing that boards, though, have that long-term view, that background that you've gotten up to speed on, but also the realization that as boards turn, you also don't want to hamstring future boards, and we have our phase two conversation in place while we're doing this other piece, and we know that that's a big piece of leveling out our schools and the populations. But for Churchill,
stop right now. Before we kind of get back into a board discussion, I wanted to be sensitive to our guests. If there are other questions, you know,
just the big one.
Yeah.
How much money in cash do we have with them?
Right now, just under $2.5 million.
Okay. And is that on average over the last year? Is it right about that? It doesn't move around.
They manage our checking accounts.
Mm-hmm. You know, they also own some of our repos, right?
No, we do not. I believe the majority of that funds is at PMA.
PMA, yes.
So we hold the day-to-day operating accounts where your payroll and all the other checks and miscellaneous things come through.
So what's the average balances?
About 2.5 million.
2.5. Is there service charges with that, or because of our balances?
There are some minor service charges.
But nothing of a great magnitude.
No.
In your checking account.
So it has 1.5. But I think it's important for you to hear some of the, not just the financial piece, but certainly some of the other aspects of the conversation. Because when we ask about something that's, you know, for you, pretty simple in terms of prepayment, that has potentially some bearing on how we present that to the public.
That could be seen. It could be seen as a big plus for the things you're stating, Patrick, and we can get the debt off a little earlier. Mm-hmm. Interest rates go up, so there. Even though it may have, from an economic standpoint, in a pure business sense, very little value first, but it could also, for future boards or getting certain board members to approve it, that may be an item that's important. So.
And the tranche line is not on the table. We can't do that. You said like a drawdown.
We would need to rely on bond counsel to provide that opinion.
I think that would be important to note. I don't know. I mean, it goes counterintuitive to some of what I'm arguing here about interest rate, but at the same time, there is a level of spirit of in between compromise between our two that does have ability to kind of meet in the middle. Right? I worry. It would be good to know that. It would be good to know that if we could do it. Yeah. We'd like to know the flexibility of it if we could do a drawdown.
Should we reach out to Kevin Chapman then, or Bob? Maybe we all have a conference call.
We should probably have a conference call.
And then if you were to term it out,
what was my makeup dates?
Yeah, April.
Yeah, I always pick April 15th because that's the date everybody remembers. Yeah. So, and then, you know, just looking at the draw schedule, I think it'd be about July or September 15th.
Good. Somewhere with the construction line.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So September 15th probably works if it was $3.5 million on each. Going to the spread, we're at 75 basis points. You know, sharpening your pencil makes it easier for this board to approve it, makes it easier to do it sooner than later. If we do it sooner, you know, what kind of flexibility do you have in your spread?
The minimal. And, you know...
minimal because it's based on the assets we have at 2.5?
No. So we're looking at this a little differently, and that certainly helps. But we're looking at it as a straight, you know, bond purchase. And if something were to happen and we needed to offload these bonds, that would be the price of marketing them to the public. I'm not ruling out the possibility of reducing that, but I don't want to provide any aspirations that it's going to be, you know, 25 or 30. You know, if anything, it would be something.
Can we collateralize that with, if we move some of our PMA repo balance over there and collateralize that bond?
Tell me more. But collateralize that.
Just draw down with the bond with.
Or instead of collateral, maybe just a compensating balance or covering it in your documents.
Yeah.
Where there's a specific covenant that we have to hold in. There's probably
there,
but it's compensating balances. I mean, we're borrowing our own money. Right now we're doing 2.5 or 7 million, but if we agree to, and not that we know that we can do it, if we increase that to 50% coverage on an average balance over the life of the bonds are being amortized, so that amount would go down to 50% coverage. But if we had a covenant at 50% coverage, you know, you're making a pretty good spread on that, obviously.
So then what would that balance have to be, right?
Right.
Yeah, I just did 50%.
So the only concern with that is, for some reason, something happened and our balances would drop, then we would be subject to a balance fee.
Right. So it would increase to the muni plus 75. Okay. Or you could, whatever, you could figure something out. It's done in commercial loans, right?
Right.
But if we're borrowing more and we have more in reserves, then it's easier to keep a compensating balance at the level that we need it. I mean, it's a thought.
We could certainly look at that. You know, I don't want... when we talk about 75, you know, I don't want that to be perceived as a credit spread. Because, the credit of the school district is certainly not, you know, something we're worried about or anything like that. The 75 is more a function of what our treasury desk would do with any bond, any AA, you know, rated bond that doesn't have a public credit rating that we would need to sell. So, you know, those things certainly help, and, you know, the balances that we have certainly, make the relationship, you know, more favorable for MB.
You don't,
there's nothing more you can do on the credit side. I mean, you know, this is not, you know, a risk-based spread. It's really a market-based.
The probability is you'll keep this on the books the whole time.
Correct.
So with that probability being extremely high, then there's ability for you to lower the spread. And if we have a compensating balance, then you can go back to your credit committee and give them a reason to have our spread a little lower than what the treasury desk believes, you know, our AA rating should be. I think that sums up what we're requesting.
Okay.
You know, every basis point, I don't know how much it's worth. I didn't calculate that out, but present value back. It's
sure.
With your interest rate, I don't know, 15 years, it's worth whatever, $7,500 for every basis point or something like that. So it helps.
Okay.
It's not that much money, though. It's present value back.
And for our purpose for credit approval, we should get up to $7 million, correct?
No more than.
No
more than.
Not to exceed $7 million.
Could be less.
It was like not to exceed.
Anything else on this conversation?
On the MB conversation? No.
MB on facilities?
Do you guys have any other questions of us?
Well, how would you like us to proceed? Do you want us to get you back some information? I have Bloomberg screenshots, give you periodic updates on where the curve is going. Look at quarterly and monthly, you know, payment options, and then look into our spread.
Both on the interest rate and
the prepayment and the interest rate.
Prepayment.
Right.
And well, the and did you say the tranche? Or the
yeah, the drawdown, the tranche. The tranche pool.
That's going to have to go through the bond council.
Right.
Yeah. As well as, yeah, the spread, like Joe was saying, we throw some more assets on your books. Mm-hmm. Does that help the relationship?
So would it be best in 2 weeks to invite the two of them back at 6:30 again? Because I don't believe we're ready, quite ready to go to full board yet. It does not appear from my listening into the conversation. If we could have you guys come back one more time at 6:30, bring all that information to the group so we can continue the conversation.
Yeah, if you could bring it, you know, give it to Bob before that so that we can
digest
it.
Okay. Yes. So we can pepper you with more questions.
That's why we're not yet.
Hopefully, it will be relatively close to us. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay. Does that work for everybody? Yeah, we'll put this back on Finance Committee for
the 27th.
Yeah, the 27th.
And it's at 6:30, though, right?
We will.
Well, we have other business, so we're going to continue at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, we probably starting at 6 o'clock.
For the record, I may be here at 6:30. So.
Okay. We'll invite
I'll try.
Our guest for 6:30. Does that work, guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
works.
All right.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys coming in.
Thank you. I'll talk to you guys, okay?
Can I make one suggestion just for the finance community to think about? I've come to these to do exactly what I did, which is to hear what you guys are thinking. And I had called Patrick actually during break to say, I don't know what you're thinking about all this, because I talked to Joe and Joe. And, I think it would be helpful for the board from a finance report standpoint, maybe at your weekly letter, your update, so that board members could understand some of the rationale behind your thoughts. Not even recommendations at this point, but just your musings.
Do you want a pitch?
What's the pitch? Right. I think, it's both and. And certainly, depending on what they come back with, that will provide some insight. But I have concern about the timing on all of this and wanting to make sure we move forward. But I think it would be helpful that there be a committee report that kind of lays it out.
I would say that personally as a board member, I would not whatever the recommendation is. I think we go to a point where this will not slip. This will get done. We're not going to end up poking
match.
This will get done.
I'm not suggesting that. We have a pretty thoughtful board in terms of questions and that type of thing. So it just helps to have.
Yeah, and to Erica's point, board meeting will be the last in January. Then you have two in February,
which
we will put into a discussion and following the three-step process. Once it comes out of this, the second step would be discussion, and I'm not sure if the board will take one meeting or two to discuss.
But let's be careful here. We would send our own pressure to do that because we're splitting this 60-40, 40-60, whatever. So we got cash to get this thing
moving.
So
it's not going to hold it up.
So you would.
But
because the bids will be back.
But the goal is to make a lending.
That would
financially.
It would probably help the community as well to see it all as one.
I'm sticking with that.
I totally agree.
That's why I'm looking at my calendar. I mean, to me, if we have the 27th, we have this discussion.
Final recommendation from this group
on the 27th.
That would be my hope and dream.
We have a special on the 22nd?
We do.
But that's for communication.
Communication.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Anytime it's a question. That's the agenda.
So then the 10th, this would be presented. The idea would be presented. We have this back. And then the final vote, the goal would be for the 24th of February. And if we had a lot of discussion at the board, it would get pushed to the next month.
Correct.
Whatever the March date is.
But I think with the Finance Committee's thoughtful work on this, and then with whatever recommendation goes forward, I would be surprised if the full board didn't take their recommendation.
That's
just one more part of it, though, right? right? There's still the 16,
the action,
the 16 additions, which may bring everything another
month
out.
Correct.
And your recommendation is we actually write something up for
everybody. Well, I just, you do a board report, but it really is just a high level. We talk about X, Y, Z.
Right.
I'm suggesting that this is a more complicated conversation. Mm-hmm. If board members can't be here for finance, then they miss, unless we encourage them certainly to listen to the recording. But they miss some of the nuance of the conversation. So it could be both and. Here's high level. One option, another option. Listen to the meeting and
but couldn't us reform some sort of memo to all the board members and just give the highlights of all?
You could have a finance committee meeting,
yeah.
And we would open it to the public,
yeah.
Just like this, and we could set that meeting mm-hmm. again. It would be an open meeting right. for the committee.
Maybe we could have that done before the next board meeting, so we can at the next board meeting we can have the discussion with the full board.
And then they would have your writings, and then the
and you'll have the information back from MB. So
yeah, if that's what you want, I can put out some dates for an additional finance committee meeting
before the 10th of February.
Correct.
Because we come up with a recommendation, then give a history of the discussion we had for everybody with the recommendation, so they can kind of see how everything was vetted.
Correct.
And then we can do that on whatever the second
mm-hmm. day, Sunday. We can pull it all off.
That sounds good with me.
Okay. I'll work on some dates.
So, just to give you a heads up, we do have a busy agenda for the next finance committee. We're going to have MB back again and some further conversation on his financing recommendation. Mike will be presenting his technology plan for the next year, next couple of years. The auditor will be here to present the CAFR. We're getting a little late in that, but they'll be here on that date to present it, to respond to any questions you may have. And then we also, one of the issues we typically get in this time of year is student fees. So those are a couple of things that are on the horizon that we're going to be moving forward pretty quickly with. Other than that, I don't have anything further.
Other than that.
Yeah.
Joe or Patrick, you guys had some questions today and on some bills.
Did I look at a wrong link when this thing got out? Because I thought I saw the cafeteria food services on here as well.
That is for board discussion.
Okay. All right.
But I know you had some questions on the Verizon cell phone bill.
Yeah.
We have about 12 people are on that, and that's the custodian and maintenance people. We used to have over 30 people on a cell phone on a Verizon bill, but we've gone to we're all administrators. Superintendent, assistant superintendent, directors, building principals and assistant principals. We go out and purchase our own phones now, and then we're reimbursed $37.50 every 2 weeks or $75 a month. But the custodians and maintenance people all carry cell phones.
Are they on, is that like a...
It's a government plan.
Oh, okay.
It's a government
plan.
So
it's not like they're calling Bangalore or something like that.
We monitor their bills.
Okay.
And they're pretty good. So I don't find anything unusual.
All right, yeah. So we have 10 staff, about $10,000 a year on cell phone bills.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you had a question on Alyssa Gray. That's for the guided instructional program, life skills, state mandated.
Was that what it was? Because it came up on the checking register as
correct.
Leisure and recreational.
Carolyn, you looked into that.
Yeah, that is for that program, and it's something that's mandated by the state where they have to go out of the building, they have to go to restaurants to learn how to order. And
life skills.
Life skills.
So these are highly impacted children.
Right.
Minimum cognitive. So they're really working on life skills. So it's important for them to be in the public, being able to order, doing some pieces with them. So that is...
So she's in that program that...
She oversees it. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why there is that Okay. To what, was it a store? Was it a restaurant? There's just numerous routes. Yeah.
And it just said leisure and recreation. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, that's.
Maybe a different title we can put on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good question, though. Great question.
And then you also asked about the hot lunch program.
Yeah, and I did that for a purpose. And for, well, Erica, she's the only one that didn't see me, you know. As we're going, now that we're, the guys are part of the budgeting process and budgeting and levying and all that aligns up. And this is me just poking a balloon here a little bit. Is if you can run me a number that shows or tells me the hot lunch program, the distribution costs, the human resources that are tied to that, the contract that's tied to that, it's $4 million, $3 million, all an all-in cost minus what we have to provide for federal mandated food program. Again, looking at the budget again, we've been doing hot lunches for 5 years now.
No, we've been doing lunches for a year at the elementary school.
Okay.
We rolled them out this year, actually last year at the elementary level, and then this year we rolled out the breakfast program at church.
Okay. Wow, I thought it was much longer.
No. So we really haven't had, we've just barely had a full year of operations in the hot lunches.
Okay. So I just want to ask the question to the finance committee, and if it needs to go to the board, if it is $4 million a year, $3 million a year, what's that to our budget? What's that to our levy? And we are we still committed to that because we're all in a belt-tightening environment? Do we still want to keep hot lunch program as a program to offer because it's to take $4 million off the budget? We got something else or we can reduce.
You know, it's a couple hundred thousand dollars. It's not
entirely.
Yeah, I mean,
and that includes HR costs.
No. When I say it could be $400,000, it could be $500,000, but we have costs that are associated with that program because District 15 manages it for us. And then we have reciprocating revenues that we receive both in the form of student fees, what the kids pay for the lunches, and then also receipts from the state and federal government for reimbursement purposes. Yes.
But it's. It's not really revenue generated. I thought you told us that.
Well,
it's just very
clarified, though.
To me,
very
it's to be,
right.
You cannot make money from a hot lunch.
Right. Okay.
It has to be revenue or expenditure neutral.
Okay.
You cannot make money from it. And the state will come in. And we just finished an audit, and we got through the audit clean. Of course, we've only been in the hot lunch program for a year. But they test to make sure that your free and reduced kids are not supporting the if you will, supporting the program to reduce prices for what you charge.
Yeah, I just want that all-in budget number. And if it is
$1 million,
do we say, okay, this is it's a program that's worth it. $1 million to the budget of 54 is not going to make a dent. But the conversation was had.
Well, what's required for Churchill, though, at 47%?
Well, because we have a hot lunch program, we're now required, because of the number of kids involved in a hot lunch, or not the... the free and reduced program.
Mm-hmm.
We are required, if you have a lunch program, you are required to provide kids with free and reduced. And because we had 47% of the kids at Churchill receiving free or reduced lunches, then we were required to roll out a breakfast program.
Right.
That's the impetus behind that.
Really,
this was a conversation that began a couple of years ago with changing demographics in our community and specifically the needs of parents. Because we don't have as many kids that used to come home for lunch or whatever the case may be, we were asked to look at developing a hot lunch program for our kids a number of years ago. So this is something that was under study for probably 4 years prior to implementation. And Erica, you remember.
Well, I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
It could be
It's a good question and a fair one. And I think one of the other impetus, and this started probably 6 years ago, where we had a grant where we got snacks because... You know, we were hearing, this is more from a PTA Council community outreach standpoint, but doing a snack collection every beginning of the school year, but then pretty much every month at Churchill and Lincoln. And also teachers requesting, because they would be bringing in snacks for kids who didn't have breakfast, you know, and then would bring in minimal lunches, if at all. So it's got a holistic issue. It's exacerbated at Churchill now with the numbers being as high as they are, and certainly partially at Lincoln. So
okay. Yeah, I just, if Ed, then let's not regurgitate that whole conversation. I can get whatever that study was just to see it.
Yeah.
And if it's non-impactful to our financial budget, to us to consider yes or knowing it again, because it's not going to impact how we tax our residents and how we tax our community, then that, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, I guess the question Patrick was saying is, what's the net? Is it the net to the district? You know, is it 5,000? Is it 50,000? You know,
mm-hmm. That's the question. And then did you say it's restricted on how much you charge for everyone, or just for the three?
Well, employees?
What's the state regulation?
Regulations are that your free and reduced, the amount of reimbursement that you receive cannot reduce the cost of what it would ordinarily cost to produce that meal and supply it to a child who goes out and purchases it.
Right, so you could charge them more.
I could charge them more. Yeah. So they do a break-even analysis to see what is the cost, what is that ratio of expenditure to revenue, to make sure that one isn't offsetting the other, particularly expenditures are not offsetting the revenues to support that program.
It's interesting because, Patrick, I mean, if there's a negative outflow of 10 grand a year, then in essence, we have to provide this for free and reduced. We don't have to provide it for everybody else, but we do, and we charge them. Maybe we're not charging them.
I think there are some guidelines, though.
I get there would be guidelines. That was my question.
Yeah, there are guidelines. Yeah, we're not going to be charging $10 for our lunch.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the market would dictate that.
Well, but I think the state sets some of those guidelines for us to be able to look at. At least in Colorado, they did. So,
and
I think beyond cost, I think it's also a very important program that we run for our kids in our community. I appreciate the cost, and I appreciate what we're looking at, and I know this is Finance Committee, but I also see when kids don't eat during the day, the academic impact will far outweigh any $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 that this program may or may not cost us. I would just, to me, it's one of those things that we don't want to be. Yeah. I just want us to be very cautious here. Thank you. I just want us to be really cautious when we go down this because the lunch program is so important and the breakfast program has turned out to be vital to many of our kids in how they're... But I appreciate you wanting to look at the overall budget, and we will. But I will advocate strongly for a lunch program.
Well, it's only been in place about a year, so
yeah.
We really haven't given it an opportunity.
I know. I know that. That's why I was thinking I'd go down that road. All right, let's take our break so we can get into that full board meeting.
But I do want to state, though, what I did see is in regarding, you know, reviewing these expenses, that the food-related expenses have been greatly reduced since the beginning of the year. And the one I had a question on, I had a good answer.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's a good thing to know.
That is a positive to finish on.
Break.